On today's episode of We Think We Know, I go over who is the MVP of the league this year. Is J.J. Redick the key to the 76ers' success? What is the Suns' direction? What is the Timberwolves' direction? The surging Heat, March Madness predictions, how good will Zion be? How good will R.J. Barrett be? Best DraftKings players moving forward for the rest of the year, and much more. Here we go. Let's go. All right, back in it with the podcast. It's Thursday, March 21st, 2019. God, so let's get 2019. That's wild. Anyway, here we go. I'm going to go over a lot of different stuff today. I'm recording on my computer now. Hopefully the audio sounds a little bit better and less feedbacky. I do have one of the worst computers of all time. So it's literally from the day I entered college. Which was like 8 years ago, so it's on its last leg, and says I have a virus every 5 seconds. So let's hope that the audio doesn't get screwed up. Let's hope that everything goes smoothly. But you know, I was listening back to the last episode. I know this is my first podcast by myself. You know, you ever listen to yourself over the phone or anything like that, and you're just like, man, is that really what I sound like? Do I sound like that? I got like the most whiny voice. Oh gosh, I'm gonna have to do some type of like special editing once I actually learn how to do this stuff. but I think it should sound clear, a lot clearer. Recording to my computer, I've done like several different tests to see which one sounds better, and it does seem that that the computer version of this sounds a little bit better than using it just going through straight through my phone. So, which obviously makes sense, but all right, so I got a lot to go over. But the Suns just signed Jimmer Fredette. Let's go. Jimmer getting another chance in the NBA. It's perfect timing for the Suns because they're, you know, Kelly Oubre is out for the rest of the season with a thumb injury. You know, they're kind of, what's it called? Tyler Johnson's been out for a couple games now. He's kind of an injury prone player coming from a Heat fan, I know. I think it'll be a good opportunity for him to showcase his skills. Hey, man, he might be a great DraftKings player, man. Be the first, his first game, man, he might start over. D'Anthony Melton's not really been doing anything. So I'm pretty sure that he'll get plenty of clock. And especially now that Kelly Oubre is gone, too, he should have plenty of run at the one or the two. But I do want to talk about with the signing of Jimmer Fredette. It's like it brings up like what is the Suns' direction? Where are they going? You know, because it seems like they got two solid players and the rest of everybody else. And you know, Kelly Oubre was a great addition. If they really want to keep him on roster, you never really know what the Suns are going to do. Honestly, they've just ever since the Steve Nash era, man, they've just been so up and down. You really have no idea what they're going to do and what that organization is going to do. Excuse me. When you talk a lot, you know, you get a little parched. So. But yeah, you never really know what they're gonna do, and it's kind of bothered me. I always feel like the Suns, they're the kind of team that they should be good. Like that in the West, the Suns have always been a staple team in the playoffs, or at least for this, definitely for that Steve Nash era for sure. But you know, they had the Charles Barkley era. I mean, that team's like it's a pretty historic franchise for not, you know, really winning anything, but. They're always in the mix. They always have good players. I just don't know if the direction, and there's always controversy around the Suns now, like with the general manager and stuff like that. He's a wild card in my opinion, but I just don't know. I think it seems like they signed Jimmer Fredette. Okay, what does that do for the rest of the year? Nothing really other than showcases Jimmer Fredette. Hey, is he any good? Is he going to average 30 like or 40 like he was in the Chinese League? Probably not. But he does give us a viable option and something for our coaches to work with while, you know, we're not going to have any success the rest of the year. So, and they do have two players that, like I was saying, with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. And it seems like everybody else outside of that, like, they're not really part of the future. Like, you don't know. Like, D'Anthony Melton's a young player, but he's not really going to be, you know, part of the future. You know, so you don't – I don't know. It's kind of tough to say. We know they're trying to get one of these top players. We know that they're trying to, you know, in the NBA draft, obviously. But, You know, they're sucking just so they can get to, you know, a good draft pick, which is such a ridiculous thing in my opinion. And I know my buddies always tell me, because you're my Heat fan, and you know, they like, oh, but you guys, you play so hard, even though you're not going to win anything, it's like pointless. It's either you're good or you're bad. Pick one and run with it. It's like, I don't agree with that. I like my teams to be competitive. I like every team to be competitive, which is why I actually like what the Hawks are doing now too. You know, the Hawks have been on it. Like, everybody keeps saying, we lost the Hawks. Them dudes can score, bro. They got scorers on that team. Scorers. These dudes can go get buckets. Trae Young has been a monster. John Collins is a monster. Like, they got their backup center, Alex Len, is 7'2", 1. So he's been a monster whenever John Collins is out or Dwayne Dedman's out. It just blows my mind that people want their teams to suck. And I'm like, you know, I guess maybe I'm more along the lines of the Pat Riley mantra. You know, go get a good free agent. You know, go do something in free agency and figure it out. But the Suns don't really have much. I mean, they're going to be the second worst, so they have an opportunity to get the second pick. Are they going to get RJ Barrett? I mean, I don't know, because they're not going to get Zion, right? You got to get RJ Barrett. Doesn't matter, right? That kid is going to be just as good, or I don't know if he's going to be just as Zion. I think Zion's going to be the truth. He's the next real deal. Everybody knows it. And it's not like I have some inside knowledge here. Like, this dude's going to be insanely good in the NBA. He's so athletic. I think he does need to trim down a little bit, but yeah. So if they get a top draft pick, they go with a point, I guess, man. You know, how tall is RJ? You know, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't watch a lot of college basketball. And I'm still going to give you my predictions for March Madness, which makes no sense. But hey, you know, let's just have fun with it, see where we go here. I've been listening to Brandon Lang. Anybody who knows Brandon Lang, dude's got some inside knowledge. Even though he let me down the first round, I'm already back as the brackets are busted. But for those of you that got to watch the games, good for you today. I was working my ass off all day. But, I was gonna look up RJ Barrett. Yeah, I need a San Antonio guy. He's an amazing player. He looks like a freaking monster out there. I knew it. He's 6'7". You know, he's 6'7". He's a forward. Let's see. I mean, that whole Duke team, I mean, is absolutely ridiculous. Everybody on that team can go 1, 2, 3. It's like they're top five. You know, and Cam Reddish is nasty. You know. Zion Williams nasty, RJ Barrett's nasty. It doesn't matter. Whoever goes in that, whoever gets the top three picks, they're in for a long haul with those players. But let's see. So yeah, if they get one of those players, it might be better. But they need a free agency signing. They need somebody. They need something. And it's got to be honestly, Trevor Ariza really was a good pickup for them. But you know, he's going to be out for a while too, but he was really a good pickup for them. I thought he could have, if he is younger, obviously maybe they can pick up a Trevor Ariza in a draft, but they need a small, if they have Kelly Oubre, let's see, maybe get, you know, Jimmer Fredette. What if Jimmer Fredette becomes a big thing? What if he kills, you know? If we get Jimmer Fredette, Devin Booker, Kelly Oubre Jr., because Kelly Oubre has been balling for them. He's really been doing a good job, right? What's it called? You get a big forward, big-time forward out of free agency or in the draft or whatever you want, and then you got DeAndre Ayton right there, you know? That says a lot. That's going to be a good team if moving forward, if they can compound on that, you know, and make something happen. I do think they need a good coach. I'm not sure I really believe in the coach there, but what can I really say? He doesn't really have much to work with now, you know? So they've been giving up points left and right. That's the only thing. I don't know. We'll only time's going to tell with them, but you know, there's two teams that are really like awkward in the West right now. It's the Timberwolves and the Suns to me. Those are the two like really awkward teams because they don't really have a direction. You know, they don't really have like a goal. The Timberwolves, they should have been a lot better than what they were this year. Obviously, they had to trade Jimmy Butler. And they got Robbie Covington, Dario Saric, whatever. But it seems like they what's it called? It seems like they should have been a lot better. And firing of Tom Thibodeau, you know, that was long overdue, honestly. You should never give a coach a general manager position and a head coach the position. It's just, it never works out. Look at Stan Gundy. Look at, you know, tons of examples. A GM should be a GM and a coach should be a coach. You should have two different spots for each of them, because a coach is going to try and do some ridiculous stuff for the team. You can make the argument that, oh, a coach knows what he needs, but I just don't think, I think it's too much stress. It takes too much off the guy, you know, off the guy from focusing on just the team, you know? So those are the two teams that I think are like, they're in like an awkward position. Because what are the Pelicans too? What are the Pelicans do? That's an awkward team. But I think that, you know, the other teams have like they have a clear future in what they're doing, I think. You know, I'm not sure what Memphis is going to do or New Orleans is going to do, but we all know they have to get rid of some players. So, you know, they're going to have to get rid of, you know, Orleans is going to have to get rid of Anthony Davis. Memphis is probably going to do something with Conley and trade that horrendous deal away. But Phoenix and Minnesota is like, in the West, you have to have over 40 wins to make the playoffs. It's just like a fact. You have to have 40 wins. And I don't see Minnesota in the West, I don't see them winning 40 games with the team they have constructed right now. Granted, you know, players been hurt. You know, you got Jeff Teague out, Derrick Rose out. Robert Covington's out for the season. Taj Gibson just got hurt now, so he's out for tonight's game. It's just one of those things that, you know, they had a myriad of bad luck things happen this year. So I think that if they, moving forward, either they get a good pick in the draft or they get a good free agency, but they need a good free agent. They have to get a good free agent. But yeah, here's the thing. Robert Covington's a great player. If that guy's healthy, man, that team's a totally different team. And they might even be in playoff contention if Robert Covington's playing. But and he was balling when he first got there. And he was doing really, really well. So I don't know. I think we don't really know what their direction is. And I don't know if because Karl-Anthony Towns was just saying, oh, we finally have some stability, I feel like, in the front office. And then they fire their head coach / GM, you know? So now they got to go out and get somebody new. And you know, now you ruin the player stability mindset. And Andrew Wiggins, not really meeting up to expectations. But, I mean, he's a young cat too, you know? Like, it's fun. It's crazy. Like, I thought completely, I'll say it right now, I was totally off on this one with Andrew Wiggins. I was like, dude, this kid has so much talent. Washington, Kansas, he had so much talent. I was like, dude, this kid could be the next LeBron, right? Like, he could be that good, you know? Obviously, I was completely wrong. So I'm going to be completely honest with you. I botched that one. But moving forward, he needs to train his mind. I feel like he has a weak mindset. You know, like, I really would like to see him take over more, be more aggressive, stop, you know, be more aggressive going to the basket, use your athleticism more. You know, it's just, you never can tell with that kid what he's going to do, if he's really going to play good that night, if he's not going to play good that night. You know, just, it's frustrating watching a player with that much talent. But all right, so moving on. Talk about franchises that actually have something to play for, though. With the Heat. The Heat have been on fire lately, and I completely will give all credit to my boy Dwayne Wade. Matt, my boy Dwayne is freaking killing it right now. Man, it makes you wonder, bro. I know he's retiring after this year, but like, man, he's still got a lot left in the tank, and he's played damn near almost every game. You know, like, that's the crazy thing. He's played almost every game this year. Like, he barely missed a game besides that little, you know, break in the middle of the season because of his daughter, you know? So it's crazy for me to think, you know, look at this guy balling out. He's got a new daughter, you know, dad of the year over here. I do feel like he's suffering from that syndrome of this, he's got a show, he's still got it kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like he'd be posting on social media all these like crazy moves he does and stuff, like, oh yo, old man still got it, you know? Or like he did something against Lonzo, he's like, sorry kid, this is an old man digging deep into his bag of tricks type of thing. Like, come on, dude, it's a little weird, but I love the dude, he's the best. You know, but man, and with Justice out, like I said, man, we got to keep this rotation of Dragic, you know, coming off the bench. That's a great role for him, man. He is destroying coming off the bench. You know, this is what I never understood with players that like, oh, I don't want a bench role. I don't want to do that. It's like, why, bro? Why don't you want a bench role? You know, like think about it. If you come off the bench, usually you're going to be playing against the bench, the other bench. It's like you're not playing against the best players, so you got more opportunity to score, especially if you're a scorer. Like, that always drove me nuts with Carmelo Anthony. It's like, bro, if he took a bench role, that Houston team or any other team could have been amazing. You know, they could have been so good. And instead, he was too prideful to not take a bench role. Like, dude, you've been sitting on the sidelines all year long. I know you're collecting your, you know, 30 mil from your ridiculous contract from New York, but I mean, come on, dude. I don't know. That just always drove me nuts. But the Heat are looking great. I think everybody has found the role, and that's like the biggest thing. And James Johnson's playing well now, which is, of course, as soon as I say something about him, he starts playing well again, you know? But I love James Johnson. He's a great, he could be a great player. I just don't think he has the confidence. He doesn't have that type of swag to his game anymore. Like, something's different. Like, maybe this must be something personal going on in his life. I mean, that's something we got to realize is, like, people who watch the game, is like, he's just a regular person. He probably got stuff on his plate that he don't even want to freaking play basketball maybe right now. Who knows? But all of a sudden, he's playing good, which is really great for the team because he can actually play the small forward spot. He's 6'8", you know, 250, and he can play the small forward spot and guard small forwards. You know, especially the bigger small forwards. So, and he would be key if we get that Milwaukee matchup. That would be tough if he's not playing. He has to be healthy for that because he's the only one that can really guard Giannis. I mean, who else is really going to guard him? Bam, maybe. I guess Bam does a good job. He's got good quick feet. But I just think if James Johnson's not playing, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. Like, a lot of trouble. All right, so, and this is the best time of the year. Right, everybody loves March Madness. You know, I don't really watch it like everybody else. I don't. It's weird, I know, but I don't know. I just never really got into college basketball like that. I shouldn't even be recording a podcast right now. I should be probably watching March Madness. And the Gators are playing right now, but I have zero faith in this team to make it past the first round. So I'm glad they made it in, but I just don't see them doing anything. This isn't the type of team from previous ones that made those big runs. It's just not the type of team, you know? But, all right, so some of my predictions. Let's see. Let's see who I got right now. I got Duke winning it all. I mean, if you don't have, honestly, I feel like nobody can beat Duke. But, I mean, then again, they've been beaten. So, you know, like, you can say that all you want, but, you know, they still been beat. So, you know. Let's see. All right. So Michigan State, I had them going, I'm pretty sure, pretty far. Minnesota beat Louisville. I know I didn't have that one for sure. I got Gonzaga going at least to Elite Eight, I believe. Dang, bro. Marquette lost to Murray State. What? Oh my gosh. Florida State, I had FSU losing, I think. No, I had him winning and then losing to like Marquette or something. But who we got? I originally had Texas Tech in my Final Four, and I was like, dude, what are you doing, bro? That's ridiculous. Why would you have him in the Final Four? Because you got, it's either Gonzaga. I think I had Baylor beating Syracuse. That's probably a bad pick. You know, like, I don't even know, bro. All I know is that Zion's going to fall out. And he's going to, like, cement a legacy of stardom in this tournament. I mean, this dude's, like, he's literally unstoppable, bro. This kid can get it whenever he wants, you know. And I'm looking forward to seeing him play. Everybody's got UCF doing something this tournament. I don't see UCF really doing anything. I only got that one dude's, like, 7'6", or something stupid, but I don't really see them doing anything this year. I think they were just good because they didn't have a lot of competition playing this year. But I don't know. I don't see them doing a whole lot. I'm probably talking out my ass. You know what I'm saying? I don't really know if like any of this is true. But let's see. Any other? I want to see if there's any other upsets. Nah, Kansas worked. Auburn barely beat New Mexico State. Dang, that was a tough one. My thing is, I wonder how good RJ Barrett's going to do. I feel like RJ Barrett has an opportunity to outshine Zion here, you know? So who knows really about who's going to win, honestly. I mean, who thinks? I don't know. Those are the best. Gonzaga beat Duke, right? So they have an opportunity, but I just don't see it, you know? They have an opportunity to do something there, but they've been inconsistent, you know. This is what I hear. I don't even watch any of these games, but this is what I've been hearing, you know. They've been, you know, inconsistent throughout the year, blah, blah, blah. And they're the worst one seed. Who cares? No, this is all it comes down to this time of year, right? This is the only time it comes down to right now. It comes to right now. You show up or you're done. You're out, you know. That's the reason it's actually a beautiful thing. I love the March Madness because of the tournament. Tournament's a beautiful thing. It is entertaining. Like one of the times I've watched it, usually been when Florida's like really good. You know, when they had freaking those championship years with Joakim Noah and Al Horford, Torian Green, Lee Humphries, you know, all those guys, and Corey Brewer, of course. But it's so hard to get into it for me. For one, because NBA basketball is so much more entertaining. Everybody's like, they don't even try till the playoffs. I hate that. They try. These dudes are going out there trying. But sometimes, bro, like, especially coming off a back-to-back, like, I can see that. Like, I can see you giving up a play, you know? But who knows, man? Like, I don't see how people don't want to watch the NBA or would rather watch college basketball over NBA. To me, it's night and day. They're college basketball players, but 10 times better. And they're the best of the best college players, obviously, right? It's so dumb to me. Like, NBA is 10 times better to me. It's so much more highlights, dunks, you know, whatever. Yeah, there's more offense than there is any type of defense. And people play way harder defense in college. But, I mean, I don't know. It could be UNC versus Duke in the championship, too. That could be a thing. You know, that would be pretty wild, right? I think a lot of people got UNC going pretty far. I got them going to the Final Four and then losing to – who I have them losing to? Nope, I have no idea. I made my bracket a while ago, and then I kind of just let it fly. I was like, whatever, dude. You know, I'm not gonna win shit. I don't care, you know? But, all right, so, I mean, yeah, I had – yeah, at UVA, obviously I had like all the one seeds except for Gonzaga, I think. I had, what's my name, man? I'm struggling over here. I had Kentucky going to Elite Eight, but I don't think they'll make it past that. I got that one kid who's apparently pretty nasty. Jared keeps telling me about him. Jared's my best friend, but you guys will know. But I... yeah, so that's my predictions, guys. I'm sure you guys got a lot better bracket than I do, but we're gonna go back to the MVP or the NBA a little bit. I'm gonna talk about who the MVP of the year is. You know, to me, it comes down to two players. It's two players, and two players only, in my opinion. Everybody's talking about Paul George. Look, Paul George had an amazing season. It's awesome to see this man get all of his powers back, right? Like, it's awesome. I love to see it. That's what you want to see in a player, you know, who had a horrific injury, come back, you know, and now he's got all his power back and some. And he looks even smoother than ever before. But it's either Giannis or Harden. I mean, that's all it comes down to. And I think people might give the bias towards Giannis. But honestly, really, James Harden deserves it more than anybody. As much as I hate the way he plays, I think if it doesn't go to him, it's going to go to Giannis, but not rightfully so, in my opinion. I think it's got to be Harden, because without him, that team is trash. That team is not good. PJ Tucker's a good player, whatever. He's a hustle guy. You know, Chris Paul's a good player. Clint Capela's a good player. But without that 30 points a game, who's going to go out and get you the rest of the points? Jalen Green's like finally shooting well. But he had a terrible, terrible year, like all year till about mid part of the year. And then he started lighting it up. But you can't tell me that team is a 2 seed or a 3 seed without James Harden. No chance, in my opinion. No chance. But I think it's got to be James Harden. Got to be. Sucks. It might hurt his chances of getting MVP. He just came out and said he's the greatest player of all time. I hate when players do this. I hate it when LeBron did it. He is the greatest player in my opinion, LeBron. But James Harden's like, I'm better than LeBron. I'm the best player. I'm better than LeBron and KD. I'm the best player in the game right now. Look, he may be right. Let the analysts say that. Let everybody else say that. Why you gotta come out and say like you're the best player in the world? What does that do? You know? To me, it doesn't do anything but make you a freaking narcissist, you know? Like, I don't get it. I think he's a great player. I hate his game. So annoying. I mean, God, you gotta have the ball 90% of the time to be effective. Like, dude, you need to, if he incorporated more ball movement and player movement in that offense, instead of just that one-on-one style, they would be so much better, in my opinion. Like, if James Harden could do a lot more if he's coming off the ball. Like, he could do more. Just think about it. Coming off a down screen, curling, catching a ball, then start your one-on-one. But go through an offense first. God, you're dreadful to watch. Besides, if James Harden goes off, then it's entertaining. But and he's been good. Lord knows he's, you know, had some great games this year and he's been doing really well, but dude shoots 45% or so, 40%, you know? So he's shooting a lot of shots to get to that those points. You know, I just think, yeah, I hate the I'm the best in the world thing, especially when LeBron came out and said about that one that one move, was that block? He's like, that block in that championship they won at Cleveland. He's like, yeah, that made me the best of all time. Bro, bitch, shut up. Stop. Like, let everybody else say that for you. I know it's social media and everything. Maybe LeBron, maybe Jordan, if social media was back then, I couldn't even imagine if it was back then, man. These dudes but maybe would have had some wild stuff to say, especially Charles Barkley. Good Lord. Could you imagine Charles Barkley on social media like that when he was a player? Dude, he's arrogant as hell. Still is, but... God, I hate Charles Barkley. Nobody can convince me that Charles Barkley is a good analyst. Nobody. He is terrible. Sometimes he says something intelligent, but then he just blows it up with the dumbest thing on planet Earth. And I'm like, he makes it totally unwatchable, the halftime show. He makes it completely unwatchable for me. I'm like, dude, I hate his voice. He sounds like an idiot half the time. Maybe that's the entertainment value. Maybe that's what people are going for. I have no idea. You know what I'm saying? But Charles Barkley is the absolute worst analyst in basketball. I hate him. And I have to wonder, like, how are those numbers on those halftime shows? People must be only coming for Shaq. Just Shaq and Ernie, maybe. You know? Like, I don't even like, what's his name? A little short guy. I don't know, man. Shaq's dope. Shaq's always awesome. And Ernie's always good. But I don't. Jeez, Charles Barkley's the worst. Anyway, I don't want to rant too long on Charles Barkley. I hate him. Everybody that knows me knows I'm not a fan of Charles Barkley. But yeah. So moving forward in the MVP race, it's going to be interesting to see if Paul George can pull off some miraculous numbers coming towards it down the stretch. But to me, it's between two people: it's Giannis and James Harden. It's not even close to me. I think it's James Harden. It should be unanimous, in my opinion, because that team's dreadful without him. And you got to give the guy credit for like playing as many games as he played, and carrying that team I don't know many people that could carry a team like that, you know. And now they're the third seed in the NBA. All right, guys, let's check this out. I'm updating scores right now as I'm watching this, as I'm doing this podcast. 33-27, Florida's winning. Look at that. 19-15. I'm surprised they even made it in the freaking tournament. 19-15. That's terrible. But Okay, jeez, what's that score? Kentucky's destroying Abilene Christian. Someone was saying that Abilene Christian was like going to be really good, and everybody should watch out for them. But man, I don't see that. Kentucky going to handle them. Kentucky's good. I like Kentucky, man. That what's that kid's name? I don't even know a kid's name, but it's there. But he was killing. Last time I saw him, man, he went off or whatever. 30 or something like that in the was it SEC tournament, I guess. Kid's pretty true. He's the truth. But let's see. All right. So, oh man, hold on. Let's see. All right, we'll be right back, guys. Okay, moving on. So apparently you can only record for 30 minutes at a time on this. I'm really getting used to this whole how I edit and do the podcast. So bear with me, guys. But with the 76ers, so hear me out on this, okay? I really think the key to that entire team is 100% on JJ Redick. Now hear me out. This man, every time he plays well, they win. Okay, every time he has a good game. When he's hitting shots, that team is a totally different dynamic, completely different. And I really think that if he's making shots, all he needs to do is make 5 to 6, or at least take 5 to 6 threes a game, make about 3 or 4 threes, more than that. He's going to get his shots up. Dude gets about, 12 to 15 shots up a game, and he don't care what's going on. He's going to shoot with confidence. He's going to shoot not thinking about the last shot that he missed, which is what you want in a shooter. You need somebody like that. You need somebody who's going to come off screens and make those shots, make the tough shots. He's a veteran. He's the veteran on the team, that's for sure. Everybody else seems pretty young. But yeah, so I really think that that he has a chance to make that team. This team has a really good chance to go far, but it'll only go as far as he takes it. I'm telling you, I know it sounds weird. It sounds weird, but I'm telling you, if that team will only go as far as long as JJ Redick plays well. And don't get me wrong, okay, Joel Embiid, obviously a killer, an absolute killer. Guy will continuously put up numbers. Put points, rebounds. He'll dominate any center you put in front of him. But I just think that if you give him about 12 to 15 shots, he's pretty efficient with it, man. If he's not hitting, that team's a different team. So that's my biggest take on the 76ers. If they because I watched the other night, JJ Redick was going off, okay? And when that team is hitting on all cylinders, it's when JJ Redick is balling out. And I'm a huge fan of JJ, obviously. I mean, I get called JJ Redick because I can shoot at the gym every 5 seconds, by everybody, okay? So it's obviously a comparison I've got my whole life because I'm white and I can shoot. It's a thing, but no, I really think that if he continues to play well, which he will, that team could go far. So I'm planning on seeing the Sixers go far. But time is only going to tell. So we just got to – I really can't wait for the playoffs. I'm really excited for that. That's going to be it's going to be really entertaining to see what the Bucks – everybody does, really. But it's going to – with the Bucks, the Raptors, 76ers, what they do is going to be really entertaining to watch. Okay, moving on. The best DraftKings players moving forward. Dude, there's so much value going on right now that I think that – speaking of, I'm having a big game tonight. Let's go. No, I really think that the people moving forward are the ones that have something to play for. Those are the people that you're really going to have to watch out for, like the Heat, for example. The Heat, the Detroit – Magic, those are the guys going down the stretch. Those are the player teams that you're going to really have to watch out for. Some of these other teams might rest some of their players going down the stretch and rest them not in a way that's going to be detrimental. They might rest them against a team that they know they might beat. You just got to watch out. There's going to be a ton of value on these slates. If you just pay attention, Tyus Jones going to be a huge one. He's a good player. He'll get you about 21 to 30 fantasy points a night on a cheap cheaper salary. Dario Saric moving forward, he's going to do well. Tomas Satoransky, he's a big one for me. I love that guy. He's always one of my favorites. But any of the guys moving forward, Jimmer Fredette, like I said, might be a huge one, to be honest with you. It's really going to come down to, it's just going to come down to, because I guess the Wizards don't really have much to play for, but, you know, Tomas Satoransky has something to play for. This dude's got a contract to play for. He's been with them for a while now, and he's trying to get paid. So, and I think they will pay him. They're going to have to if they want to keep him around. But it'll be entertaining to watch and see what they do with him. Josh Okogie is going to be a good pick for the rest of the year because you got a bunch of players out. Robert Covington's out for the rest of the year. Derrick Rose is out for the rest of the year. Jeff Teague's out for the rest of the year. So you got a lot of value on Minnesota. Got value on Washington, Phoenix. Some of these other guys, Luka is always going to be a good one. Jalen Brunson, by the way, great fantasy pickup. But you might want to stay away from some of the West teams. Stay away from some of the West teams for fantasy, only because you just don't know what they're going to do moving forward. Who else? The Heat, for sure. Heat are going to have a lot of value there, and they're going to play well. Goran Dragic's a huge value play right now, so that's a good one. You just got to watch out what he's going to do. So moving forward, those are some of the guys. Nick Vucevic is going to be a big one. Blake Griffin's going to be a big one. He's been kind of off right now lately, but you know he'll get his stride. I'm not sure if I don't think the Pistons are going to make the playoffs. They had a chance there for a while, but I just don't see it. You know, I don't see them making it. I see the. I'm upset. I'm sorry. Not Detroit. What's it called? Charlotte. I don't see making it. That's what I don't see making. But Detroit's already in. They're going to be in for good. And I'm surprised that they're actually a sixth seed. I don't see them making it far in the playoffs, but I'm happy that Detroit made it. They're a team that I thought they would get in there. And Brooklyn's in too, which is that's wild. Brooklyn was one of those teams that I didn't see coming at all. I really didn't. D'Angelo Russell, man, the Lakers look real dumb, really, really dumb for trade. Man, I'll tell you what, man. I've been saying this to my friend, but. Everybody keeps blaming LeBron, but, dude, man, I think it's all on Magic, bro. Think about this, man. Dude, trade away D'Angelo, okay? Trade away D'Angelo Russell. Tried to trade away the entire team to get Anthony Davis. Started a riff in the locker room. Nobody wants to play for them no more. And they all keep blaming it on LeBron. It's like, dude, it's crazy because if you just – I really think Magic got to go, bro. If he don't do something this offseason, he's got to go. He's really fucked this team, to be honest with you. Excuse my language. But no, for real, he's really messed this team up so bad. So just watch out for some of the players moving forward that have something to play for. If you're playing fantasy, fantasy is one of my favorite things. I love DraftKings, trying to make a little bit of money on it, get that hustle in, you know what I'm saying? You just got to hit it one time. Just got to hit it one time, man. Put 15 down one time. See if you get it. If you don't, yeah, 15 bucks, whatever. You know, so. All right, guys. I got a little section coming up for motivation and life advice next. All right, guys. All right, so that's going to be most of the basketball talk for that podcast. I want to go over a couple things for you know, I've been feeling good lately, and I just want to throw out some tips on how to possibly, you know, improve maybe your mindset or whatever you're dealing with. Just these are kind of the things that I've been kind of implementing in my life to just make it better. You know, like you don't have to have a bad mindset. Like there's no reason for it. You know what I'm saying? Like we all have an amazing life. I don't care if you're live right now. Then you are obviously living a good life. It doesn't matter what's happening in your life. You're alive, dude. You can always take your situation and make it what you want. I hate the people that relish in things and they just sit there and they're depressed. Look, I've done it. We've all done it. But these are the things that I've done that really kind of improved on my mindset and how I approach life and how I approach things going forward, you know? Like, people, I bring the juice, man. Every day to work, I bring the juice, bro. I'm ready to try and make people a little bit happier. Now, today was tough because my stomach was killing me today. It was rough, man. You ever been to work and then your stomach's just killing you that bad? Yesterday, I do not. One of these things on the list is not going to be eat like a whole pack of Oreos because I ate like more than half and I was dying. Okay, this whole day today, I'm pretty sure it was the Oreos. So don't eat a lot of Oreos. It's not good for you, apparently. But so for one, that really helps a lot, right? Pray, okay? Whatever your religious affiliation, praying to God helps a lot, man. It really does. I always, first thing in the morning when I'm taking a shower, I have to get down after I get home from working out. I'll sit in the shower, I'll stretch, do whatever. But I'm the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm praying. You know, God, give me a good mindset for the day. Let me help these guys. You know, bring some happiness. You know, bring some joy, bring the energy, make these guys at work feel good. You know, because also I'm a boss, so yeah, I gotta make sure that people are moving. I gotta make sure that people are working. Make sure they're happy. You know, I got to listen to all their issues, which is good. I'm happy about that. You know, I like doing that. I love my job. I love cooking. I'm a cook, you know, so it's one of my favorite things to do. So I was happy that this was a nice little situation when I come to work back with my parents. Maybe I might want to get back into training one day, that's one of my passions for sure. But I really, really do enjoy what I do right now and cooking and stuff like that. It's a big passion of mine, always has been. Hope to start a restaurant one day, but in the coming years, it eventually happen. But prayer is a big one, guys, because, man, pray for a mindset. Pray for the energy to give your coworkers, like, uplifting message throughout the day. There's nothing better than when people come at you with positivity. Positive vibes are what make the world go round, in my opinion. That's what makes everybody's day turn around. Like, someone comes at you with unrelenting positivity, you know? Like, I know my sister jokes about it. It's like, you know, don't talk to me until I've had my coffee, blah, 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 whatever, you know? But you got to appreciate someone that's coming with the juice, bro. You're coming with it every day, ready, willing, you know, and trying to make things happen, trying to make it happen at work. You got to appreciate those people. You know what I'm saying? So I think prayer for a mindset. I've really been working on that. Prayer for mindset. Help my mindset. And I feel like I think about it more and more throughout the day, and it helps me, you know, helps me keep that positive mindset. So that's a key one for me. Second one, it's gonna be weird, but make your bed. That's a weird one, right? Like, I heard this soldier say, you know, the best thing to do in the first thing in the morning is make your bed. Like, if you want to be successful. Successful people make their bed. Why? Because you take the extra time to do something like that. Now, I know my roommate will say that I don't make my bed ever. He probably called me a liar right now because my room's been a mess. But I've cleaned it up. Everything's back and normal now. And I got this new desk with my podcast, everything on it. I'm going to probably throw a picture up on social media. Give me a follow if you want to. Send me something I should talk about. Give me some feedback. I probably suck at doing this podcast thing. I'm only going to get better, guys. Just keep listening. Keep listening. I'm only going to get better. But here we go. So, make your bed. Prayer, make your bed. Right? And don't sweat the small stuff. That is the biggest one, I think. You know, I think my buddy Jared sent me a picture the other day. And this is a little, I've seen this in several different scenarios. I've seen this type of thing, all the time. But this is a good one, okay? I'm going to read this little quote here. You have $86,400 in your account. and someone stole $10 from you, would you be upset and throw all of the $86,390 away in hopes of getting back at the person that took your $10, or move on and live? Right. Move on and live. See, we have 86,400 seconds in every day. So don't let someone's negative 10 seconds ruin the rest of the 86,390 seconds. Don't sweat the small stuff. Life is bigger than that.
It's so true. Such an easy message to get across, you know, or to listen to and be like, oh yeah, that's true. Don't sweat the small stuff. But legitimately, don't sweat the small stuff. Like, that life is so much bigger than that, you know? Like, one little thing is not going to destroy your day, okay? Don't let it, at least, you know? Like, you have way more power than that. And your mind is such a powerful thing. If you utilize it in the best ways, listening to positive things, listening to positive music, podcasts, whatever it is, anything that's uplifting will change your mindset and help you not sweat the small stuff. And that's what I've continuously tried to do for the past year now, I'd say. You know, I've had a lot of trials and tribulations in my life, but I think that once I totally accepted the don't sweat the small stuff kind of thing mindset, it really helped me moving forward. So that's it for me, guys. Prayer, make your bed, don't sweat the small stuff. I appreciate you tuning in. You know, keep listening. If you have any advice for me, send my way. I know my buddy Andrew. Hey, you listen, Andrew. Appreciate you, brother. I know my buddy's been giving me some feedback, so I appreciate y'all. I'll see you next time. Peace.